Fet Life Station, The Vibe Starter, featured guest DJs,
original show,
music news, the hottest DJs from around the world.
This song says God's mercy kept me, so I wouldn't let go. Anybody in here ever felt like giving up, just throwing in the towel, just giving up? I'm not going to ask you to hunch anybody, but just look at them. That person you're looking at is here tonight only because of God's mercy and His grace. Somebody ought to just tell God, thank you for your mercy and your grace that kept me. Get a witness in here.
So I wouldn't let go.
I almost gave up.
I almost gave up. I was right at the edge of a breakthrough, but couldn't see it.
God's mercy kept me.
God's mercy.
Can I get a witness in here that knows about God's grace? So I'm here today.
So I'm here today.
Hunt somebody next to him. I was really down. The devil really had me. But God's mercy kept me. I'm here tonight because of God's mercy. Come on now, just thank Him. Just thank Him.
I almost let go.
Yeah.
found somebody who needed a touch. They had issues. They had issues of love. And they pressed their way. They pressed their way through the crowd. They had to get through. Cause they knew if I can just touch the hill.
FetLifeStation.com right here. Your man, Lester Kenyon. This is a Labor Day weekend. Parkway is loaded right now. But remember, no matter what's going on, no matter what holiday, no matter what event, you still got to give it up to God. We're just taking up a little bit of space in this area called life. And life is for the living. Yeah. But remember, there's nothing that can be done without the blessing of the Lord. So remember to pray each and every day, giving thanks, just telling God thank you for whatever He has done for you and yours. Doesn't hurt. It's something that we should all do. You see what's going on in the world right now. It's not pretty. God is trying to tell us something. Wake up, people. Wake up. Coming up at 11 a.m., Sister Jillian and friends with Worship on the Move. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Just feel the tempo of this gospel jazz. So smooth, so soothing. You hear that organ? Thank you.
Now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are, to worship. Come, just as you are before your God.
Good morning and happy Sunday to my radio family. Come, now is the time. Now is the time to worship. I am your host, Jillian, and I am so very happy and delighted to be back with you as we worship on the move. You don't have to stop to listen. Thank you for tuning in with your earphones or your earbuds, whether you are at work or school or play, or maybe you are at home relaxing with your family and listening from external speakers. And that is great. It is also great that you can tune in from anywhere in the world, because FetLifeStation.com is international. My listening friends, send the link to someone. Send the FetLifeStation.com link to someone and let them know that now is the time to worship. Well, it's time. Now is the time for back to school. I want to give a special shout out to our teachers and students. I know some of you have already been back, while others are preparing for that new start and to return to school this week. Also, I know my friends, that there are lots of excitement and anxiety in the air. So let's hear a word of encouragement from Jaden Lee Case, followed by a song about God's greatness.
Hi, my friends. It is school time again. It has already begun for some and for others. We'll begin in the next few days. I must express gratitude to all parents for their commitment keeping the children entertained throughout the summer vacation. Even if you felt as if you struggled, the fact is you made it through. As a student, I wish I could tell each child and parent what to expect for this new school year, just as how I wish I could have told you that COVID-19 will have created a new norm. However, without a doubt, I can share with you the tried and proven assurance that can be found in God's Word. Students, I want to remind you that God has a special calling on your life. Parents, I also want to encourage you to embrace this calling even if you can't visibly see it. God had chosen one of Jesse's sons to be king, so God called Samuel to anoint him. When Samuel saw the firstborn Eliab, he was like, he must be the one, because Eliab was quite masculine in appearance. He pretty much looked like a king. But the Lord said to him, pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I've rejected him because I do not judge how people judge. They look at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. People at school or around you might not always see your fullest potential, but God knows what He has placed in you. He can use you just like He used David, who at first did not seem to be king qualified. God sees beyond our naked eyes can see. Therefore, no matter how tough this school term gets, students, you can get through. Trust in God's calling on your life. Be focused, stay focused, God's got your back. Let us pray. Lord, please help us to embrace your calling on our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a great message and song. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jaden. We will now have a poem by Akela.
Back to school. The first day of school, not sure what's in store. A brand new teacher and a whole lot more. Making new friends and seeing old ones too. What will we learn? I haven't a clue. Will we learn about animals or outer space? Will we learn to be riders, or in gym will we race? I have so many questions about how this year will be. A brand new adventure. We just have to wait and see.
Amen. Teachers and students, you really don't know what is awaiting you on this new adventure. Thank you. Thank you, Akela. Now it's time for prayer.
Tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus Jesus alone.
Oh Lord, our God, how majestic is your name. Your name, Lord, in all the earth. We lift you up and we praise and glorify your matchless name. What a powerful God we serve. There is none like you, Lord. There is no one above you or beside you. You have no rival. You have no equal. Your name is great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that was shed for our sins. We confess, Lord, that we have sinned in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. And we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we ask that you will help us to be strong where we are weak. We ask you, O Lord, to give us that victory that we need to overcome temptations. Lord, we acknowledge that we cannot overcome sinful practices all by ourselves. We need you. We need you to anoint us, dear Lord. Anoint us with that Holy Spirit to empower us and to guide us into all your truth. Lord, today I lift up all the teachers and parents and students before you. They need you now, Lord. They need you now. There are lots of anxiety about school safety, about the violence in the streets, the violence in the trains, the violence in the buses, and more. Lord, I plead that you will send your shield of protection. And I ask you, Lord, that you will protect every teacher, every student as they go out to school this school year. I ask that you will defeat every plan of the enemy that he may have to destroy the youth and the children while they are on their way to and from school and even inside of the schools. Lord, I ask that you will provide for every child. You will provide for every teacher. Give them the supplies that they need. Help that no child will be left behind. Lord, in a special way, I ask you to bless every teacher. Give them the skill, the wisdom, and the understanding on how to interact and educate those students that are placed under their care. Lord, in a special way, Lord, I ask that everyone will have a productive and successful school year. In a special way, Lord, be with the parents. Help them that they may have that peace of mind as they send their children off to school this school year. Bless us all in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind and compassionate friend. And if I but ask him, he will deliver, make up my trouble.
Now it's time for the spoken word. Our speaker today is Dr. Dwayne Fraser. Pastor Fraser is presently pastoring the Grace Point Seventh-day Adventist Church in New Jersey. Before Dr. Fraser speaks to us, little Liam will bring us a message in song about God's goodness and God's faithfulness.
Of God, I'm gonna sing. Amen, amen. If God has been faithful to you, if that has been your testimony, that if that has been your praise report, why don't you just put it in the chat and just say, God, you have been faithful. Put it in the chat. Let me know that you're still with the bald head preacher. Put it in the chat. God has been faithful. If he's put a food on your table and clothes on your back, God has been faithful. If you have a job, God has been faithful. If you have a little money in your bank account, God has been faithful. If you're married, God has been faithful. If you're single, God has been faithful. I don't know. Okay, maybe that's not your testimony. If you are alive, yeah, God has been faithful. And so we ought to praise and celebrate his holy name. Believe that God has a word for us. And so I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 3. And we'll be reading from verses 16 through to 20. And I'd like to read from the New Living Translation, if that's okay. So that's 2 Kings chapter 3, reading from verses 16 through to 20. When you found that, let's get into the word. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16 through to 20. And the Bible says, and he said, this is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will see neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, but this valley will be filled with water. You will have plenty for yourselves and your cattle and other animals. But this is only a simple thing for the Lord, for he will make you victorious over the army of Moab. You will conquer the best of their towns, even the fortified ones. You will cut down all their good trees, stop up all their springs, and ruin all their good land with stones. The next day, about the time when the morning sacrifice was offered, water suddenly appeared. It was flowing from the direction of Edom, and soon there was water everywhere. I want to speak to you on the next few moments on the subject. Here it is. I hope y'all are ready for this. It's time for a reset. Yeah, it's time. It's time. Yeah, get your friends ready. Tell them, share it, text them, let them know, hey, man, it's about to go down like four flat tires. You need to hear this word. It's time for a reset. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Father, we thank you so much for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ. We are grateful that you have allowed us to be in your presence one more time. Now we are asking, oh God, that you would speak to our hearts in clear tones, that our hearts would be receptive to that which you have to say. Please, God, set every captive free in the name of Jesus. And we will be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. So as usual, my prayer and my plea is this, that you would let the words of my mouth and my heart's meditation be pleasing in your divine sight, because you're our strength and redeemer. And we say amen and amen. It is time for a reset. Conventional wisdom says that you reset your computer on a basis, especially if you're trying to install something new, because it flushes the memory, it cleans up any remnants of processes of any programs that you previously run, and it restores your system to a relatively fresh state. And what I want to tell you real quick, what is true of your computer is also true to your life. That periodically you need to do a reset. Yeah. And the process is exactly the same. Because to reset your computer, you need three keys. You need control, you need alt, and you need delete. And in order to reset your life, you need the same three keys. Because God says, if you give me control, I will show you an alternative life that I've designed just for you. Yeah. And you don't have to worry about the programs that you've run in your past, because I hold the delete key. And I can remove whatever the enemy puts on your desktop or laptop to try to block you from what God has planned for you. And is there anybody that can say with the young preacher, the bald head preacher, hey, I am ready for a reset. Yeah. After all the stuff that I've been through this past year, I'm ready for a reset. After all the drama and the hell that the devil has put me through, I am ready for a reset. If that's you, well, you've tuned in to the right message today because God has a word for you. Permit me to give you the context of this text. Joram is the new king of Israel, and his first day in office, he signed some executive orders and he gets rid of some of the terrible policies that the previous administration had set up. Yeah. One policy was Baal worship that his dad Ahab had put in place while he was king. The Bible tells us that nations around the world took note of the change in the new administration. And one nation in particular decided that they were not going to send Israel aid anymore. And so the Bible says in verse 4, I'm giving you the context, that it was those Moabites that decided not to give their annual payment to Israel after Ahab had died. And the Bible says that Joram makes a decision that he's got to get rid of these Moabites because they're not supporting him as they did his father. So he gets his army, and while he's on his way to destroy the Moabites, he sends a text message to Jehoshaphat and gives him the background of his story and asks him, will you help me fight these Moabites? Jehoshaphat says, you already know I'm your boy. I'm your boy. You can count on me. I'm in. I'm not going to let you fight this by yourself. And Joram says, cool in the game. I'm so glad that you're down. And then Jehoshaphat says, well, what route will we take to get there? Where or how are we going to do this? How are we going to defeat these Moabites? Joram says that we're going to go, watch me, through the wilderness of Edom. Now, and so I had to do some research. I couldn't just come with empty-handed without digging a little bit into the passage. So I did some study and discovered that here it is, that Bible scholars say that it would have been more efficient for Joram and Jehoshaphat to attack from the north instead of traveling all the way south in Edom. But the Bible lets us know, everybody, that they traveled south, and as a result, the Bible says, here it is, that they got stuck for 7 days, and then they run out of water for themselves and their animals. Ah! And so the question now is, because I'm a very inquisitive preacher, why didn't they just go north? Why did they travel all the way south through Edom to try to get to their desired destination? I'm so glad you asked. They did this for two reasons. Number one, here it is. They did this because they thought the north was heavily guarded, so they wanted to go where they thought they would find the path of least resistance. Oh, all right. Can I park here right here and leave my car running? What path are you avoiding that will lead you to where you want to be in your personal or professional life if only you embraced it? Yeah, because if the truth be told, many of us have the pattern of avoiding discomfort because of our fear towards pain. We choose short-term comfort over long-term benefit. Preach, phrase, I'm doing the best I can. Yeah. The problem, though, is that while we are a microwave generation, that wants things to happen instantaneously, we serve a crockpot God. Oh, let me say that again. That while we may be a microwave generation, we serve a crockpot God. We serve a God who wants to take his time. He wants to prune us. He wants to shape us. And sometimes the process hurts. I I often tell people that God's deliverance comes with side effects. Oh, that's good. That sometimes you're going to cry. Sometimes you're going to feel lonely. Sometimes you're going to feel some hurt. In fact, God told Abraham that if you're going to be in covenant with me, and to every Christian who wants to be in covenant with God, God says, watch this. I know it's not good. I know that you may feel be offended by this, but I got to say it. God says you got to bleed somewhere. Yeah, yeah. He said, I may cut you in a place that they cannot see, but if you're really in covenant with me, take your son out here and cut him, because the sign of a true Christian, the sign that you're in covenant with me, is that you've bled somewhere. Preach, phrase. We call it circumcision, but it's bigger than circumcision. All of us have something in our lives where God proves himself to us through the suffering we endure in that area. He shows us that not only can he deliver us from it, but he can deliver us with it. Oh, yeah, that's good. God doesn't have to remove your thorn in order to make you perfect. In fact, he says that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So God says, I've heard you, Paul, praying, and the same guy who prayed and raised the dead could not remove his own thorn, because this is what produces greatness, that somehow in our life where no one can see, there is an agony, so that when you raise your hands, you won't be phony, fake, or fictitious, because of something in your life, something that you know has brought you into a relationship with God that you couldn't read in a book, you couldn't buy online, that you had to suffer. And somebody knows what I'm talking about right now, because you done been through toils, snares. You have been through so much, and as a result, your worship is for real. That's why your faith hasn't been shaken in this season, because you know what it means to trust in God. And like Marvin Sapp, you can declare, I never would have made it. Yeah, 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 yeah. And so they take this path because they are trying to avoid the path of hardship and struggle. But secondly, they chose this route. Here it is, because they wanted the king of Edom to also come with them and fight the Moabites. Oh, yeah. Which means, watch this, that had they not tried to connect with the king of Edom, they wouldn't have gotten stuck and run out of water. You see, sometimes adding people to your life can get you stuck. Yeah. Sometimes adding people to your life can subtract away from yours. And some of you can know, you know what I'm talking about, because some of you have been stuck in depression, stuck on medication, stuck in anxiety, stuck in unforgiveness. And now that you're stuck, you've run out of resources. You've run out of joy. You've run out of peace. You've run out of money, and your spirituality is at its lowest state. But we have not realized, and we have not figured out, here it is, that there are no neutral relationships. Yeah, relationships are like elevators. They either bring you up or they take you down. I was reading some time ago by a book called The People Factor by Van Moody, and he says this: there are only two groups of people, two types of friends, two types of relationships in this world. You've got two groups of people. One, they are armor bearers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody needs armor bearers. These are the people that help you get to your assignment, that help you get to your destination, that help you accomplish your purpose. These are armor bearers. But then you also have another group called Paul bearers. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And these people will slowly take you to your grave. And so you've got to assess each relationship and realize that there are no neutral relationships. You're going to need people who will lift you higher and help you walk into your purpose. But I get it. I get it. I know. I get it. Some of you are saying, well, Pastor, the reason that I connect with the wrong people is because I don't want to be alone. And I get it. But here's your shout. Just because you're alone doesn't mean you have to be lonely. I'll say that again. I said, just because you are alone doesn't mean that you have to be lonely, because I came to testify that you can be alone without ever being lonely. Alone is a state of being, while being lonely is a state of mind. Yeah, it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. So I knew I was coming here. So of course I had to come with an illustration. So my baby girl is a preemie. She's a preemie. So she was born almost 6 weeks before her scheduled arrival. And so as a result, she had to be in the hospital for some days. She was there almost 2 weeks. And I remember one time when my wife and I, we went to go and visit her in the hospital, I saw my baby girl. It looked like she was about to roll over off the bed. And I'll be honest, I almost lost it. I mean, I almost lost it. Why? Because I'm looking around the nursing station and I'm looking around the room and I cannot see anybody. I see no nurse. Like Vashawn Mitchell, I was searching. First, I was searching, but I couldn't find nobody. I searched high and low. I still couldn't find nobody. And so now I was getting a little bit upset because I was wondering how they left my baby by herself. And so when the nurses finally came, I said, excuse me, nurse, I don't mean to be rude and upset, but I was rather disturbed when I came into this room and I did not see any nurses within the vicinity, and it looked like my baby was about to fall off and hurt herself. And the nurse looked at me and smiled. She said, Mr. Fraser, I understand, but can I just let you know about something? I said, go ahead, nurse. I'm going to listen to what you're going to say to me today. She said to me, Mr. Fraser, here's what you need to know. Your daughter is never alone. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, we have these devices that we carry on us all the time, and we're always monitoring your baby. We can see your baby on these monitors. And so whenever you are, even if you don't see us, we're always seeing her because we're always watching. I said, that'll preach, because somebody online needs to know tonight that even though you may not see your heavenly father, I came to tell you that he's always monitoring you. Oh, yeah. He's always watching over you. I know it may seem like you're by yourself, but he is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Whom I preaching to? No wonder David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. No wonder David says, I've got two big bodyguards following you. What are their names? The text says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know who I'm preaching to. I don't know who's by their computer right now that can raise holy hands and say, yeah, preacher, you know what you're talking about. Because there have been some moments when I've been backed up by the devil and I thought there was no way out, but surely goodness and mercy came and rescued me. As can anybody celebrate God, that he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor who am I preaching to, that knows that God will always monitor our situation. Yeah. So here it is. Joram and Jehoshaphat, they are stuck with the king of Edom. No money, no resources, no water, nothing. And they need water for themselves and the animals. Everything has run out. Then Jehoshaphat says, don't worry. There is a word from the Lord. And so he calls Elisha, sends for Elisha. Elisha comes. And Elisha says, I know that you lost your stuff. Yeah. I know that you need water for yourselves and for your cattle. But don't worry, because God says he's going to give it back to you. Oh, Lord, can I preach? Because God can give you back the stuff you ran out of trying to get your own way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The stuff you ran out of making bad decisions, God says I can give it back. The stuff you ran out of trying to make it work, God says I can give it back. Is there anybody who wants their joy back? You want your peace back. You want your faith back. You want your ability to trust God back. I'm here to tell you that if you let him reset your life and take control, you can get it back. And here's how you can get it back very quickly as I take my virtual seat. Here it is. The text teaches us that if you're going to get it back, if you're going to make a hard reset, then first, you got to make room. Yeah, make room, make room, make room. Yeah, the Bible says in verse 16 that God says, make a valley full of ditches. Yeah, which means, watch this, that they were instructed to remove the dirt out of the valley so that when God sends the water, there will be enough room for the enough room to receive the water. I'm preaching better than you're all responding. The text says that he needed to make room so that he could get what God had for him. And the spiritual lesson is this, that you've got to be willing to make room for what God has. Here it is. Here it is, because God cannot fill what is already full. Ah, yeah, that's common sense. Because the reality is that some of us, we are filled with our own ideas on how things should be done and when it should be done. We've already got our own plans, and so we're full of distrust. Can't nobody get close to you because you don't trust nobody, not even God. But you've got to let it go, because as long as you're holding on to whatever it is you're holding on to, God cannot touch it. Preach, praise. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You need to give it to God. And is there anybody who's ready to get out the way so God can have his way? Someone is tired of not being able to sleep at night. Give it to God. Oh, is someone tired of the drama? Give it to God. Are you tired of living in anxiety? Give it to God. Oh, somebody's tired of manipulating and trying to orchestrate everything. Do it God's way. If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. But just do what the psalmist says and commit your way unto him. Trust him and he will bring it to pass. Yeah, yeah, he'll bring it to pass. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I want you also to notice in the text that God did not tell Jehoshaphat how many ditches to dig. He just told them to make the valley full of ditches because there is no limit in the supply, but in how many ditches that are dug. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but the word is, don't limit God, because the earth is still the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He can do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask, think, or imagine. So dig your ditch. Yeah, yeah. So not only do you need to make room, but secondly, you need to move to radical faith. Yeah, move to radical faith. Verse 17 says, that the text says, there will be no wind or rain, but those ditches will be full. Now, what you've got to understand is that in Eastern countries, the wind was something that they would normally see as an indication that rain was going to come. Yeah, yeah. The wind was an evidence that rain is on its way. Yeah. And so God tells them, you're not going to see a wind. Don't wait for that. But I still want you to dig the ditch. Now, logic says, wait for the wind and then dig the ditch so that you know for sure that rain is going to come. Yeah. Don't dig the ditch first before you see any wind or feel the wind coming. Ah. But God is telling him to do the second step first. Ooh, preach, praise. God says, here it is, I need you to prepare like it's already going to happen. because radical faith will make you follow things out of order. Ooh, it makes you act like you got it and you ain't got it. Real faith has an expectation, an action of expectation, because sometimes God wants to see your willingness to be obedient. And here it is. I have discovered in my personal life that whenever God wants to give you more faith, he will give you less evidence. Ah, preach, praise. Because when you have less evidence, you'll have to depend on him and you'll have to put more faith. Yeah, yeah. I get that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But when God wants to grow your faith, he'll give you less evidence so you can have more faith. And so here's the question. Are you willing to act like it's already done? Are you willing to go get the furniture and you don't have the house yet? Are you willing to go look for the property and you ain't got the business loan yet? Are you willing to claim healing and the doctors haven't told you yet? Are you willing to claim your Boaz even though all you see are bozos? Are you willing to paint the room pink and you don't even have the baby girl yet? I'm sure that they look silly digging ditches in the wilderness, but it's only crazy until it happens. Ah, preach, praise. I'm doing the best I can. So then finally, here it is. Not only do you need to make room, not only do you need to move to radical faith, but you need to maintain your resolve. And I'm done. To resolve means to have a firm determination to get something done. The text says in verse 20 that water comes the following morning, that the rain comes the following morning, which means that they dug in the night, which means they didn't have a lot to prepare. This also means that they must have continued working well into the darkness of the night, which means that things were not so clear, but they were still digging. They did not understand everything, but they were still digging. They didn't know if this vaccine would really fight the virus, but they still dig. They were still digging. They did not know if they would still have their jobs, but they still kept digging. Because you've got to maintain your resolve. Why? Because God is faithful. What are you talking about? I told you that the text says, here it is, the Bible says that the waters came the next morning from Edom. This is good. The text says that it came from Edom. Now, what you need to understand is that the Bible does not waste words. The fact that it lets us know that it came from Edom means that the author wants us to understand the significance of Edom. Now, what you need to understand in biblical antiquity is that where they were, it would take 3 days for the rain to come. They always, in biblical antiquity, whenever rain came from Edom to where they were in the wilderness, it took about 3 days to come. Oh Lord, have mercy. I said, let me say that again, because I know you all just missed it. And where in that particular place where they were in that wilderness, whenever rain came from Edom, it would take 3 days. But your Bible tells us that they woke up the next morning and rain was already there. Oh my, oh, this is good. Which means, therefore, that when they prayed and asked God to send rain, the fact that it came the next morning and it normally took 3 days, it means therefore that the rain was already on its way even before they began to pray. Oh, preach, praise. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm here to tell you that the blessing is on its way. Your miracle is on its way. Your healing is on its way. Ah, your saving grace is on its way. So I've got a word for you. Keep digging. I know you're tired, but keep digging. I know you're frustrated about life, but keep digging. I know you feel like throwing in the towel, but keep digging. Because they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Keep on digging. But the reality is that it won't always be like this. That if you maintain your resolve, if you move to radical faith, if you make room, God will work on your behalf and give you back everything that you lost, that you tried to get your own way. And so at this time, I'd like to pray. If you want a reset. If you want a reset, God wants to do something special for you. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So I want you to pray with me as I petition the throne. God, we thank you so much that it's never too late to have a reset, that you are plenteous of grace and you are full of mercy. I pray now, God, that you would help us not to lean on our own understanding, that you would help us to acknowledge you so that you can direct our path, that you would send down a special anointing over their lives. I pray that whatever they're going through, that you would meet their point of frustration with your grace, that you would heal their land, that you would restore everything that the enemy has taken from them, that you would give them peace for this journey. And God, we have failed you many times. That's the truth of the matter. And so we ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we need you, God, to perform a miracle in our lives so that we can be a blessing to those who are in need. And may we be ready for your imminent return, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Change will come. Oh, yes, it will. There's a dawn arising on a brand new day. There's a strong wind stirring across the ancient graves. There's a voice that's calling, would you be set free? There's a change coming, let it start in me. Let it start in me. Let it start in me. There's a change coming, let it start in me. There is a fire that's burning, sweeping across this land. Oh, there's a heat consuming every evil plan. Every evil plan, there is gold emerging from refining. Sparkling where there once was shame. There's a revolution gathered on the sea. Oh, we all know it's coming. People must be free. Feel the tides. Feel the tides are changing. Oh,
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a timely message. We all need a reset, don't we? Teachers and students, as you return to school, it's time for that reset. By God's grace and power, ensure that you have things under control and delete what needs to be deleted to have a fresh start and a reset this school year. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Dwayne Fraser, for that timely and inspiring message. Thank you, Jaden, for your words of encouragement to the parents and students and your song on God's greatness. Thank you, Akela, for sharing that beautiful poem for teachers and students. And thank you, Liam, for that wonderful song on God's goodness and God's faithfulness. A special thank you to my listening friends. It's a pleasure, always a pleasure, to worship with you here at FetLifeStation.com every Sunday at 11 a.m. Remember to invite a friend to tune in. Send the FetLifeStation.com link to someone and ask them to tune in with you. Remind them that they don't have to stop to listen. They only need a pair of earphones or a pair of earbuds, because this is worship on the move. If you want to contact us, you may go to the Worship on the Move Facebook page and contact us by messenger or by the email in the chat, BeulahBrigades@gmail.com. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Have a great week.
Have a happy Sunday, everyone. And remember that if you want to listen to this podcast again or any other previous podcast, you can access these podcasts by a simple Google search. Search for Worship on the Move. You can also find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Podcasts. Subscribe and share any of those links. There may be someone, just someone, who may need that message in the spoken word and songs to reset their lives.
Compass.
Fet Life Station, The Vibe Starter. Featured guest DJs.
Original show.
Music news. The hottest DJs from around the world.
Yes, 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 beloved. What a powerful name. And that name is Jesus. Your man, Lester Kenyon, right here. Once again, this is FetLifeStation.com. You're listening to Gospel Inspirations. I want to say thank you for tuning in. It was a pleasure speaking with you, hearing all this wonderful, good gospel music right here on the best internet radio station on the internet dial. That's it, FetLifeStation.com. So enjoy the rest of your day. Keep it positive. Keep listening. Until about 6 o'clock today, we'll have gospel all day long, like we do each and every Sunday. Remember, this is a Labor Day weekend. Be safe and keep praising God.
No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Our enemies will not prevail. Oh yeah. Through the lightning and the thunder, your light will guide us as we sail. Oh yeah, the music is gonna play, and God, you will have your way. The nations will stand and sing, glory to the King. We'll stand as one in singing. Yeah. We will live in harmony. We will live lives of compassion. Ooh. Lord, to you all praises be. All praises be. It's gonna play, and God, you will have your way. The nations will stand and